Chapter 9. In the Garden. Grim floated in darkness. No, not floated. Drowned. He came to awareness, wrapped in sargassum. He pawed at the shroud of decaying plants, spinning in place, end over end, unable to see anything save a cloud of rippling, oily bubbles. He tore the weeds aside, searching for something, anything he could use to orient himself. His lungs strained, and black clouds clung to the edge of his perceptions. The foulness of the waters permeated his armor, mouth, and lungs. It clawed at his insides like poison. He forced aside the pain, trying to find a way out of his predicament. As he ripped the thickest fold of sargassum away, he caught sight of the corpses, innumerable and spreading out away from him in all directions. An infinity of the dead. Bodies bloated with rot and blackened with disease floated together, a reef of decaying meat. Blind eyes met his everywhere he looked, and he pushed them aside. Limp fingers flopped against his helmet and warplate. For a moment, the reef broke apart, revealing the dark beyond. He glimpsed something vast and squamous undulating away into the black. Hints of impossible shapes, mighty in their foulness, teased him, drawing his eyes this way and that. Beyond the corpses, he saw forests of splintered teeth clashing together in silent ferocity, and rolling waves of blistered scales as immense leviathans tore at one another in elemental fury. A tail the size of a mountain range whipped out of sight. Its movement stirred the waters and the dead. The force of it pummeled him like the blow of a gargant's fist. He felt like a sailor adrift in a sea of monsters, and knew that should one of those shapes turn its attention to him, he would be lost, without hope of ever seeing Azir again. He tried to swim away from the distant shapes, but his armor was dragging him down. No, up. Dead hands tangled themselves in his cloak and the straps of his warplate. He gritted his teeth, trying to ignore the growing ache of oxygen deprivation through sheer force of will. Far below him, he glimpsed something, like a twist of smoke rising from a chimney flue. But it was not smoke, nor even sargassum. It seemed to grow larger, even as he was pulled away from it. He twisted, seeking some sign of Sigmar's grace in the roiling darkness. He couldn't believe that it was his destiny to die here, drowned in an ocean of corpses. And then there was light. Not a bright light, a weak, watery shimmer. But it was better than the dark. Lungs burning, he groped towards the light above. No, below him, dragging his armored bulk free of the entangling weeds and corpses. The dead seemed to follow him, and the waters turned thick as their buboes and boils burst. He had to fight the urge to gag, and concentrated on swimming. Grim's head split the water, and he inhaled a lungful of dense, caustic air. Flies buzzed around his head as he dragged himself to a weed-covered shore. Strange lumpen trees rose above him, partially obscured by a yellowish mist. Patches of soft mold turned to spore clouds as he floundered through them. He felt semi-solid earth beneath his hands and feet, and pushed himself upright. Water poured off his begrimed armor as he staggered to shore. He turned, taking in his surroundings. He appeared to be on the edge of a mere. Strange, unnatural plants loomed on all sides, jostling with the gnarled, arthritic trees for space. He could hear heavy shapes floundering in the distance, and the croaking roars of things best left unseen. A vile rain streaked down, and where the droplets cascaded across his warplate, patches of mold sprouted. He scraped a patch of the newly grown mold from his armor. A moment later, it began to creep back. He hissed in disgust. The canopy overhead dripped constantly, and besides the rain, the air was alive with stinging flies and drifting spores. Empty hands clenched uselessly. He'd lost his halberd and his lantern both. He was weaponless and seemingly alone. But where was he? No. He shook his head, chiding himself. To pretend ignorance served no purpose. He knew where he was, at all times, in all ways. Every Stormcast did. Whatever the realm, they knew. They could feel the distinct power of it deep in their bones, and they could feel when they were elsewhere, outside the realms, out of reach of Azir's light. There was no light here, not really. Only the soft sheen of infected flesh, reflected and refracted a million times. Above him, the clouds of murk briefly parted and revealed a grin as wide as a chasm, and two pus-cream eyes like infant moons. The rains dripped from those titanic eyes like tears. Then the apparition was gone, leaving behind only the ghost of a single, thunderous, sardonic chuckle. Nothing occurred in the garden that its master was not aware of, in some fashion. He felt cold and feverish all at once. Water splashed. Grim whirled and saw a silver gauntlet pierce the skin of the water. Without hesitating, Grim waded back into the waters, hoping to reach whoever it was before they were drawn back down into the depths. Even as he clasped the groping hand and hauled back, he saw more flashes of silver, and among them, a flurry of spotted limbs, followed by a shrill cry of disapproval. Talon burst to the surface, feathers and fur slick with foulness. The Griffhound floundered to shore, issuing sharp shrieks of discontent as he did so. Grim laughed in relief as he dragged a liberator out of the water. Osric coughed up yellow liquid as Grim helped him to shore. Kaya had survived as well, and one of her protectors. Grim took a head count. Only 6 Stormcast in all, counting himself, and Talon. "I suppose misery loves company," he said, as he stroked the Griffhound's head. Talon's tail lashed in agitation, and he trembled as if ready to bolt. Grim understood the feeling. The air here was wrong. Every inhalation was an effort, and it seared the lungs. Though he had the strength of the storm in his limbs, he could feel it ebbing. They were far from Sigmar's light. Too far. "Where are we?" Osric growled, fumbling with his grand hammer. The weapon looked as if it had been put to use recently, and Grim wondered what the Liberator Prime had encountered in the depths. "Use your senses," Grim said. "Smell the air. Where do you think?" "It can't be," Osric said, but they could all hear the lie in his words. A murmur ran through the group. Fear, Grim knew. Stormcast were courageous, filled with righteous fury, but there were some things even courage and fury weren't enough to overcome. "Of course it can. The realm gate twisted in upon itself and was corrupted." Grim let a harsh edge creep into his voice, startling his warriors from their worries. If they faltered now, they were lost. Those final few moments came back to him. He recalled a frantic struggle to open his warding lantern, to release its light and hopefully purge the gate of its taint. That they were here now implied that he had failed. Something chuckled. Grim turned, searching. The sky was obscured again, in roiling, sickly clouds. The others appeared to have heard nothing. He shook his head. A trick of this place. The dangers here would not simply be physical. He would have to be wary. They all would, if they were to survive. "I require a weapon," he said. Osric unsheathed his gladius. "Here, take my blade, Lord Castellant." "My thanks, Osric." Grim took it and sighted down the length of the sword. "Have you been caring for this properly?"
"Every day," Osric said.
"Only it feels a bit off."
Grim flipped the blade and caught the hilt as it came down.
"No matter. I shall soon have it gleaming like new."
Kaya laughed, though there was little humor in the sound.
"Even here, he seeks to teach us a lesson," she said, leaning on her Stormstrike glaive. "Lecture on, Lord Castellant. Shall we practice our drills?"
"You should have thought of that earlier," Grim snapped.
"Then perhaps we would not be here."
Kaya fell silent, as did Osric. Grim took a breath.
"My apologies, Protector Prime. The fault is that of our foes."
Kaya nodded after a moment's hesitation. Grim looked around, taking in the trees and bubo-like hummocks of soft mud. He could hear sad, soft moans on the wind, and there were things that might have been faces in the vegetation. Creeping fronds groped for him like the fingers of penitents.
"We must stay together. To become separated here, now, even if only in spirit, will be the death of us."
"No, not death. There is no death here, friend."
Grim stiffened. The voice had slipped in, as if on the wind. It was familiar. He looked around, grip tightening on the hilt of his gladius. Soft lights swooped through the dark, just at the edge of his vision. Something, a voice, a song, tugged at his hearing, trying to draw him away and deeper into the swamp. He ignored it.
"What was that?"
"What was what, Lord Castellan?" Osric asked.
Kaya held up her hand.
"Hst! I hear it as well. It sounds like oars."
Talon hissed. The griffhound stood stiff, tail lashing. The feathers on his neck flared out, and he snapped his beak. A moment later, they heard the drumbeat, slow and sonorous, like the heartbeat of a dying gargant.
"Defensive positions," Grim said.
The two liberators moved into a line, shields locked tight. Osric took up position behind them. Kaya and her remaining warrior moved to flank Grim.
"A pitiful force, but brave."
Grim shook his head. Kaya glanced at him.
"Lord Castellan?"
"I'm fine," he said. "Look to yourself."
It came out more harshly than he'd intended, but perhaps that was good. He was not known for his consideration, and if they doubted him, it could be fatal. The rhythmic sound of oars striking sludgy water grew louder, and with it came the groaning chants of mortals in pain, their voices rising and falling with the drumbeat. The water rippled, and the sound of trees creaking and crashing rose up to join the rest of the noise. Something heavy was coming towards them. It stopped. Silence fell, broken only by the shrill cries of things that were not birds. Then a heavy splash, as of something weighty being shoved into the water. A moment later, a squashy, moist sound, like fat raindrops slapping metal. It was joined by the sound of rustling reeds and a droning dirge that rose up from all directions. Talon turned in a circle, clacking his beak in obvious agitation.
"They're all around us," Grim said. "They must not be allowed to reach the realm gate."
Forms moved in the murk, indistinct but growing more solid with every passing moment. Dozens of them. No, twice that. More. More than they had any hope of seeing off. Inhuman voices rose from the stinking mists, joined together in a malignant song. The sound of it curdled Grim's soul. The first plaguebearer burst out of the murk, jaws lolling in an almost cheerful expression. Bloat-bellied and thin-limbed, the demon was covered in mottled, scabrous flesh, through which decaying bone and rotting muscle showed. A single curving horn rose from its shapeless head, and its lone, bulging eye fixed on the liberators with a merry gleam. The blade it clasped in its knotted fingers was designed for cleaving, and its edge was pockmarked with rust and other, less respectable substances. The festering blade slapped down against a shield, rocking the unsteady liberator on his feet. Osric's grand hammer looped out and smashed in whatever passed for the demon's skull. It slumped back with a disgruntled sigh. A second demon slid from the tree line, then a third, a fourth, more, until the stormcast were surrounded by more than three times their number. Grim turned, trying to count them. Had the creatures been waiting for them, or was this merely happenstance? It didn't matter. If they wanted a fight, he would be happy to oblige.
"Who are the unluckiest souls in creation?"
he asked, a crooked smile on his lips.
"Only the faithful,"
Kaya said, laughing.
"Who will teach these creatures what it means to dare Sigmar's wrath?" "Only the faithful,"
Osric growled.
"Only the faithful," Grim echoed.
He extended his gladius towards the closest demon.
Well, get to it. We don't have all day.
The plague-bearers jerked into motion and loped through the reed-choked waters, chuckling darkly. Osric's liberators fought back to back, making themselves an obstruction in the tide. Osric sent demons sprawling with precise blows from his grandhammer, displaying an impressive skill with the bulky weapon. Kaya and her remaining warrior wove a wall of shimmering energy between their opponents and the other stormcasts, protecting them. Grim and Talon fought on the edge of the fray, forcing the demons to split their attention. But even stormcasts had their limits, and they couldn't be everywhere at once. The first to fall was the last protector. The heavily armored warrior lost his footing in the muck and slid to one knee. The demons were quick to capitalize, and they swarmed him. Kaya noticed his predicament, but too late. The warrior fell and was buried beneath a heap of hacking, slashing forms. Grim shoved himself around, borrowed gladius whirling in a tight circle as he opened a demon's throat and popped the eye of a second.
Kaya! Osric! Guard yourselves! He roared.
Osric spun, his grand hammer snapping out to crush a demon's skull. But two more of the creatures bore him to the water, their festering blades stabbing. Osric's shout of anger became a scream of pain before fading to silence. The two liberators fell, each in their turn, joining their prime in death. But to Grimm's horror, their souls did not burst free, did not rise to Azir as they should have. Instead, the bodies lay where they had fallen, broken and bleeding. At once he knew the reason. Somehow, this place was caging their souls, preventing them from fleeing. Enraged, he removed a plague-bearer's head. He spun his blade and drove it into a bloated belly, bursting it like a pimple. He slung the deflating plague-bearer aside and turned to see Kaya sink down, a demon blade in her back. He was alone. Talon squalled and pounced on a demon, driving the creature face first into the murk. The Griffhound snapped the chortling plague-bearer's spine and silenced its laughter with a vicious snap of his beak. Grim splashed towards the animal as more plague-bearers plunged nearer. He caught hold of a horn and ripped it free of its skull, before jabbing it into a grinning maw. A plague-bearer hurled itself at him, hoping to tangle his limbs, and he caught it by the throat. He dashed its maggoty brains out against the bole of a tree and removed the sword hand of another. Talon caught the wounded demon by the leg and jerked it off its feet. As it flailed in the water, Grim trod on its head, squashing it. Breathing heavily, he looked around. No demon remained standing.
"Only the faithful," he muttered. "What good faith in a place like this?"
Grim closed his eyes, trying to block out the voice. It was just a trick, a whisper of ill wind trying to undermine his certitude. Gardas had spoken rarely of his time in this place, but Grim remembered his warnings well enough. He'd spoken of weeping trees and accusing ghosts, of a swamp that extended forever, and every breath made fouler than the last.
"I am not Gardas," Grim said.
His lungs ached, and his limbs felt heavy. He looked at Talon.
"I am the shield, and I will endure whatever this place can throw at me." But he would need more than a gladius.
He belted the short blade about his waist and lifted a war blade from the mud. The longer sword would give him the reach he needed. He caught up a shield. It was dented and cracked, but still serviceable. He slung it over his back. They weren't the weapons he preferred, but they would serve. He heard the winding of a horn and realized more demons were on the way. The sounds they'd heard earlier had been some sort of conveyance, a vessel. That meant a crew, perhaps even an army, looking to enter the realm gate. He glanced back at the dark waters they'd emerged from. Alone, he could not mount a proper defense of either the gate or the bodies of the fallen. If their souls were caught here, they needed protecting as much as the path to Gairan itself. When defense was impossible, offense was the only option. He would build a rampart out of motion and make himself a fortress to be conquered. He would lead the enemy away for as long as he could. As he started towards the sound of the approaching demons, Talon splashed after him, chirruping. Grim waved the animal back with a sharp gesture.
No! Stay! Guard!
Grim caught Talon's beak and bent so that their heads touched.
Guard them until I return. Let nothing touch them.
The words came harsh and swift, and even as he said them, he knew they were a lie. He would not return, and Talon too would perish eventually, either from starvation or an enemy's blade. He wanted to apologize to the beast, to say something, anything, but knew the animal wouldn't understand. But he would fight. He would protect the souls of the dead until there was no strength left in his spotted frame. The sounds of approaching demons drove Grim to his feet. His hand ached for his lantern, but he would have to make do with what he had. Taking a tighter grip on his warblade, he started towards the demons, picking up speed as he went. A single charge ought to carry him through and past them. They would turn and follow. He would lead them a merry chase for as long as he was able. And when he wasn't, he would die. But not easily. He burst through a patch of fungus trees, shield raised, and slid to a stop. Plague bearers lurched towards him from all directions, chuckling. Grim slammed the flat of his blade against his shield.
Who will face the dark and cast it back? He said. Only the faithful.
Another crash of Sigmarite against Sigmarite.
Who will walk the world's black rim and fear no shadow?
Slam.
Only the faithful.
He backhanded a plague bearer with his shield. As it tried to climb to its feet, he drove the war blade down, bursting its single eye. Another lunged from the side, and he ducked beneath its blow, driving his shoulder into its sunken chest. It stumbled, and he bisected its horned skull, crown to jaw.
Only the faithful! That is who stands before you! Only the faithful!
Grim cried as he surged into their ranks, chopping and slashing.
Come and get me, you bastards!
He pressed forward without stopping, absorbing blows on his battered shield. The plague bearers seemed perturbed by his enthusiasm, and their chuckles had faded to dark mutterings. They got in one another's way in their haste to attack, and he made the most of it.
Lazy! No tactical acumen! I am one, you are many. For shame!
He booted a demon in the face and trod on it until its swollen belly burst, releasing a cloud of flies. He whipped away from them, barreling on. He swept aside any creature that sought to bar his path. His heavy warplate turned aside those blows that landed, but he remained in motion, never halting unless he had no choice. Demons splashed in his wake, their chants devolving to incoherent snarls of frustration. Several times he caught sight of great, low-slung shapes slipping through the mangrove-like depths of the swamp. Galleys, he thought, though like no galley he'd ever seen, with sails of billowing mould and creaking, fungus-spotted hulls. He couldn't tell which way they were sailing in the murk. It grew thick about him, and soon he couldn't even tell which way he was going. But he kept moving, regardless, until his breath burned in his lungs and sweat stung his eyes. His muscles cramped, but he shook it off. Time stretched strangely. Minutes passed, or perhaps hours. Trees rose up and fell away like agonized figures. And still Grim pressed on. The attacks came less often, as if the creatures had grown tired of him. But still they followed. Still he could hear the slap of oars and the creak of rigging. Stinging flies swarmed about him, rising in clouds from the muck beneath him. Strange, half-familiar faces swam to the surface of the loathly water, mouthing silent imprecations. Grim shook it all off. He ignored the murk, the ghosts, the sounds, all of it, and concentrated on putting one foot after the other. Another stormcast might have faltered, but Grim would not, could not. The same strength of will that had carried him through the rot-water blight would sustain him here. It had to. Exhaustion clawed at him, but he pressed on, until finally he stumbled. A root, perhaps, or something more sinister. It caught his ankle, wrenching it painfully. He sagged, catching himself with the edge of the shield. All at once, the demons swarmed towards him. They came from every direction, chortling in satisfaction. He snarled in frustration and slashed out with his warblade. A demon folded over, its chortles cut short. A blow crashed against his shield, rocking him. Another caromed off his helmet, making sparks dance before his eyes. He needed to clear some space. He swung the shield out, driving several of his attackers back. But even as he rose to his feet, a blade skidded off his side. Acidic grime ate away at the Sigmarite. He pivoted and brought his warblade down on the creature's skull, splitting it. They pressed in around him, an unceasing tide of filth and degradation. Blades stabbed at him, and the droning chant filled his mind, drowning out all coherent thought. Still he fought on, his body moving by instinct. He was not merely a wielder of weapons, but a weapon himself, honed to a lethal, killing edge. But even the strongest blade eventually breaks. "Only the faithful!" Grim hissed between clenched teeth. There was blood in his eyes, but he didn't need to see this enemy to fight them. "Only the faithful!" "You fight well for an Azerite, but this battle is done." The voice echoed through him, and he stumbled, momentarily disorientated. He recovered quickly, removing a plaguebearer's hands as it tried to hack at him. He slammed the rim of his shield into its throat, silencing its droning cry. "You are strong. Quick. You'd have made a fine knight were your soul your own. Instead, you are chained by lightning to Sigmar's throne." Grim shook his head, trying to clear it. But the hateful words resonated like the boom of a drum, shaking him to his core. A blade caught him in the back of the head, shattering on his helmet, but knocking him from his feet. He rolled over and tried to rise, but more blows came, hammering him down. The shield was smashed from his grip. A blade soared across his forearm, and the warblade fell away, lost to the mire. He lashed out with a fist, pulping a cancerous jaw, and clawed for the gladius. His stomach churned. He felt as if something were reaching up from within him to grasp at his heart. A dreadful weight settled on his lungs, and he began to cough. "Do you feel it, Azerite? My hand on your heart. Will you tell me your name now?" "Who?" Grim spat. Bile filled his mouth. More than bile. Wriggling shapes. He pitched forward, spitting an oily discharge. Fat maggots plopped to the water. Vision wavering, he found he could no longer rise. "Am I so quickly forgotten, then? Fie on thee, Azerite! Fie, and fie again! Ah, the captain of this merry crew approaches." The plaguebearers retreated as the sound of heavy, splashing footsteps sounded. As the demons parted ranks, a broad figure strode through them. The creature was taller than any demon, and twice as broad, with a bulk that would have put an ogre to shame. Clad in broken warplate and filthy leathers, the monstrosity wore a featureless helm, dominated by a sharp-edged horn, and carried a heavy, single-bladed axe in his one human hand. Fully half of the being's body was rent asunder, and from the gaping wound emerged the snapping beak and twisting tentacles of some vile sea beast.
"Well, there's a familiar face," the bloated creature said, in a voice like water spilling over barnacles.
He extended his axe and caught Grim's chin with the flat of it.
"In so far as all of you shiny skins have the same one." "You," Grim said, as he was overcome by a racking cough.
He recognized the creature well enough, for they'd fought before atop the vile peak known as Profane Tor. The abhorrent thing had almost killed him then, and would have if Talon hadn't intervened.
"Aye, me,"
Gutrot Spume, the Lord of Tentacles, said.
"And I am thinking that I know ye, don't I, Shiny Skin? Have we traded blows, then? Who won?"
Spume sank to his haunches with a grunt. The seven writhing tendrils wrapped tightly around Grimm's head and arms, dragging him closer.
"Must have been a draw, if we're both still alive, then. Though, with your sort, maybe not."
Dark laughter rippled through the demonic ranks.
"Still, you're a pretty prize, and no mistake. I don't think you'll be dying today, either."
Spume rose to his feet and rested his axe on one flabby shoulder.
"Get him up, and be gentle with him, my lads. He's worth more than any blighted soul in this garden."